did have a blessed feast of tabernacles, and I've gotten at least one report from another feast site. They had a wonderful time, miracles, healings, these type of things they recognized. And when we go to the feast, we see things a little bit differently when we come back, I do believe. Some things stand out. And one of the things that stood out for me this year was there seems to be a fabric shortage for the women in the world. I mean, just on TV, the cleavage is showing and dresses are hiking up higher and higher, it seems. Well, it's the way of the world, and Yahweh wants us to stay away from such things. And in doing so, sometimes we suffer, interestingly enough, but we are to be suffering obedience, and this is the message today, following in the Master's footsteps, which we are to do. And if you've been in the faith for any length of time, you no doubt know that we are not immune to suffering. And one of the things that we experienced at the feast was joy and happiness to have been able to have come out of the world, the symbolic Egypt, to remember what it must have been like for Israel to look forward to a future in which there will not be suffering, but that there will be joy and happiness. I know that a number that were with us had suffered greatly, and there was exceeding joy, I think in part because of that, because they were able to get away from that suffering for a time. And so I think Yahweh definitely has the appointed times to come before him, to come out and to come before him, to draw close to him for a reason, not just because he says, well, I want you to come worship me. No, it's so that we can be refreshed in his presence. We had in our registration form and these things that went out an image of trees in the fall, bright colors. We did see some bright colors. But it says, experience the Feast of Tabernacles. And I do believe we really experienced the Feast of Tabernacles this year with the fruit of the Spirit that abounded among the brethren. There was joy. There was happiness. There was self-control. There was love. Now, there were a couple things that I think we could have enjoyed not having, you know, a couple things come up. But overall, very, very good. And I would encourage anyone that has maybe considered coming, would like to have some relief from the world, to really make an effort to follow Yahweh's tithing laws, because the second tithe is for us so that we may have the opportunity to come before him. Sometimes suffering comes without warning, and other times we understand we will have to suffer to be obedient. One of the tests that often comes up for new believers is the Sabbath. We are not alone and can overcome and can learn lessons along the way. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. We're in the same situation that we are suffering obedience also. We can't always have it the way we would like, or the way I think sometimes our flesh would like. And we're in the flesh, and we struggle at times, striving to overcome and to do what's right. And it is a process. And, you know, there are different personalities. There are different levels of understanding. There's different levels of maturity among us all. And some of those things can be difficult. But with any family, there are some common things that are there. Love. respect, compassion, these type of things. And it holds us together, too, because we are part of the family. And we're very few here. But I think one of the things that really made the joy, or the joy and love really come out, was the few of us that were in attendance at the Feast of Tabernacles. Sometimes I think we would like, you know, thousands to come, but boy, I can't imagine the logistical nightmare that would be. So Yahweh is merciful, but Yahweh allowed us to have a family-oriented feast. You couldn't go away and form a clique. You couldn't. You had to, and it causes growth. And growth is not always that comfortable. But I think with the fruit of the Spirit, with Yahweh's word being in the forefront of our minds, and these things exhibiting themselves through us together, we're able to overlook and to draw close to one another and to become more mature. I do think that was occurring even at the feast this year. So we grew, we learned, suffered a little bit. I think the suffering that we have in this world, it was so joyful to come out of that and away from the things that we're seeing in the world. But then when you come back in the world, they're more evident. It's like turning off the TV for a month and then turning it back on, and it's like, wow. I never knew, or I didn't realize it was, oh, they're showing all this stuff. It's true that bad company corrupts good character. And so we don't want ourselves saturated with the world. We want to saturate ourselves with Yahweh's Spirit. And the only way one of the ways to do that is to come together and to fellowship, and to get a break from, and we all have to work and do things, and we're not always, you know, at a close distance where we can always meet. But we do our best, and that's what Yahweh expects us to do our best. And when we do that, we are blessed. Matthew 5, 18 through 19, Yahshua speaking, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law, until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments," can we annul a commandment by not coming to the Feast of Tabernacles when you have the ability to do so? I think so. And are we not teaching others to therefore do the same, just as a witness by our example? So as we go through the scriptures, we have to think about even our example, not just what we speak, as being evident. Verse 19, "Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And again, you can teach by example, by doing. People ask questions. Your employer, even though he says bye-bye, when you say, "I can't keep the Sabbath," Yahweh has something better in store for you many times. And though we can suffer hardship through obedience. And one thing I noticed, or one thing to notice here in Matthew 5, 18 through 19, is the outcome of being called great is yet to be in the future. I think many times we want what we want, and we want it now. You know, it's a fast food society. Hebrews 11, 38 through 39, "Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. But we know through the vision that Peter and I think James saw Yahshua glorified." I mean, he hadn't been yet, but that's a vision of the future. Moses was there, Elijah. and other patriarchs of old will certainly be there. But there's a process. There's a process going on. And we hope to be there as first fruits in the first resurrection, which will certainly be the best, the one to obtain. Many times we get accused of being legalists because we keep and teach the laws of Yahweh, somehow denying the Messiah while trying to justify ourselves by the law. Oh, what terrible people we are. Yet we realize we are justified in Messiah and obey the law out of love and respect for both Yahweh and Yahshua. Just as like a family, you respect your parents, you respect those that are over you, and you love them as well by doing what they request of you. The instructions are there for a reason. The accusers are bearing false witness by breaking the ninth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But when we get called evil, when we're doing what is right, they're bearing false witness against us. Because Yahweh's word is very clear and plain. It's not confusing. Thou shalt do this, and you shalt do this and that. And there are things that we shall not do. Pretty clear. But the world wants to do its own thing. And we can see clearly through the spiritual eyes that we've been giving just how foolish and what foolishness there is out there, because people are living their lives without thinking about the future. But suffering and obedience do go hand in hand at times. The spirit in this world is at odds with Yahweh's spirit. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely, you know, bearing false witness, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, we find rewards are future tense. We also find the continued parallels in Scripture of the law of Yahshua, such as in Revelation 14:12, all the commandments of Yahweh are righteousness. We are told in Psalm 119 and verse 172, let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. And doesn't the Apostle Paul also reiterate this fact? He knew the law. He kept the law. He also kept the spirit of the law, the weightier matters of the law, and was trying to help others to learn the way as well. Romans 7 and verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. And what do people say today? You don't have to keep the commandments, the laws, the statutes of Yahweh. Now, they may not say it exactly like that, but you know they're saying it when they don't obey. They're saying it just as they're living, and they're not living, and they're not walking alongside Yahweh. But they may be morally good. They may look the part, but they sure don't act the part. And we're not here to condemn anyone. Yahweh has given all judgment to the Son, and the Son will judge accordingly. But what is the Son going to use to judge? The Word, the Scriptures. And so we better be careful and observant of what Yahweh's Word says. And when Yahshua says, we do not live by bread alone, physical bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, and then we hear, oh, the law was done away with. We're under a different dispensation. We're under the We're under the age of grace. And yet, Hebrews 10, 26, 27 in there says something about destroying that grace by disobeying, by being disobedient. So there's a misunderstanding out in the world right now for those that seem to have an understanding but really are lacking. Considering, well, let me back up to Romans 7:12. You know, law holy, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. But we also know that we must have faith in Yahshua, being sanctified through his shed blood and resurrection from the dead. And as we've said in the past, it's not, you know, the law and Yahshua, the faith in Yahshua, it's not one without the other, it's both. And this is clearly presented in Revelation 14:12 and others on which we see in Scripture. Considering prophets of old, many of them were persecuted even to death due to their messages to the people. Enoch did not have a kind message towards the people because the people were sinning. Elijah did not have a kind message towards the people because the people were sinning. Jeremiah did not have a kind message, in fact, told them what was coming, and it came. And he was a weeping prophet because he knew what was coming, and then he experienced and saw what had happened. And it's all written down for us so that we don't go the way of disobedience, but that we come back. And even though we might suffer, it's suffering obedience that produces the right kind of character and fruit of the Spirit and all of these things within us. And I know Paul said that, you know, he wished a thorn was taken away from him. He had a thorn in the flesh. What that was, don't know exactly, but Yahshua's answer to him was that his power was made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, well, and I'm just paraphrasing, but he basically said, well, then I will more than gladly go through this for the Messiah. But he benefited, and at the end of his life, he proclaimed that he had finished the race. He was looking forward to the crown that would be given to him. And we were looking for that resurrection, which he will be raised up, and then those who are at Yahshua's return will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll see, if we're there, we'll see Messiah as he is. Often the messages, of course, of the prophets were telling the people to stop sinning and that punishment and death would be the result of their sins. Jonah speaking to the Assyrian capital of Nineveh was a perfect example, as well as Amos speaking to Israel. You know, the list goes on. We also teach repentance in Yahshua. We tell people to stop sinning. We tell of the tribulation to come before the coming kingdom. But very few listen to us today, but that's all right. Yahweh is pulling one from a city, two from a family. We don't have to worry about numbers. What we have to worry about is what we've been given and what we do with what we've been given, because we are responsible. And we will receive a lot of stripes if we don't do what we need to do. And for those that have not understood and have been blind, and then find out what has been, I think they'll still be disciplined and all, but they'll receive fewer stripes because they didn't do things unaware. Because they did things somewhat unaware. And yet we're still, you know, I think we're without excuse. We do see Paul expressing that, you know, even creation should make everyone aware. And yet you see these buses that they basically say You know, don't worry. Enjoy your life. And then they put in quotations, you know, God is dead or something along those lines. Or he doesn't exist. It's just foolishness. We are blessed to be in a suffering situation, being persecuted and reviled for the truth, knowing the outcome if we are faithful and overcome to the end. It can be a lonely road at times, but it's the right road to be on because it leads into eternal life. Do we realize that we can be tested in two or three stages at a time? One thing happens and something happens on top of that. And then something else occurs, just like a pressure cooker with low, medium, and high settings. You know, with Job, for example, it went from medium to high. Job 1:11, and this is Satan, you know, describes a conversation between Satan and Yahweh. It says, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face. And Satan was allowed to touch his family, sons and daughters. But then it got worse because that didn't affect Job. He still praised Yahweh. Chapter 2 and verses 4 through 5 of Job, Satan answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Then Satan was allowed to harm Job physically, and he sat there in ashes and sackcloth, no doubt putting ashes on his head, covering his head, shame and just distress, taking a piece of pottery and scraping the sores. What a terrible state to be in. Wife comes along who wasn't as strong in faith as he was and said, you know what, just curse him, be done with it. He said, woman, you know, basically, just to paraphrase, you know, Yahweh giveth, Yahweh taketh away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. And that should be our attitude as well, no matter what happens. Sometimes we get hit with the high setting all of a sudden with no warning. You know, do we give up and stop serving Yahweh? No. We continue to persevere and move forward, even though it feels sometimes like our life has come to a standstill. And it can feel that way physically and spiritually, but sometimes feelings just are. And, you know, sometimes we look for growth and we don't see it right away necessarily. But 5 years, sure. 10, 15, 20, oh yeah. 30 years, if you've been dedicating your life to Yahweh and you've been striving to overcome, you should be able to look back and see a lot of growth. And maturity rather than immaturity. Revelation 14:12, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of Yahweh and their faith in Yahshua. The King James uses the word patience, while the word perseverance is used in the New American Standard Bible. What is the word perseverance saying in this verse? The word in the Greek is Strong's 5281, and the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament says it means to persevere, remain under, to a bearing up under, patience, endurance as to things or circumstances. The word is hupomone, and it's associated with hope, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, and refers to that quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. Generally meaning endurance, patience, perseverance, or consistency under suffering and faith and duty. Do we ever get tempted to take a bar of silver or a bar of gold and hide it in our tent? We see what the outcome for that man was and his whole family. We certainly do not want to test Yahweh. And if You know, there's different ways you can take gold and silver from Yahweh. All is His, and all He requires is a tenth of the increase that He gives to us. He's given us everything that we have. And He tells us, you know, to set aside a portion so we can come before Him. Are we hiding that? Are we taking away from Him? I hope not. 1 Thessalonians 1:2-3. We give thanks to Yahweh always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness. That's that hupomone word. Steadfastness. Of hope in our Master Yahshua the Messiah in the presence of our Elohim and Father. In His presence, coming before Him through the Messiah. It's the only way that we're able to approach Yahweh's throne. But we don't want to disturb the Spirit, quench it, reject what the Spirit shares with us as it brings to memory Scripture and keeps us on the straight and narrow path. We want to be studying, mindful of Yahweh's Word and the help that we're in need of at times will be given. And I look back and I think I'm sometimes doing right when, you know, I find myself complaining sometimes. I shouldn't do that. It's the type of thing that happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. And Yahweh understood and He had patience for them. But they kept on keeping on with their complaints, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, and they wanted the things of Egypt. I'll tell you, at this feast, I don't think anyone wanted to go back home and into this world in which there's so much evil today. I almost didn't want to give this message because I've been recharged, as we all have. And blessed, and we experience the Feast of Tabernacles, and we bring that joy back with us, and we're happy around people maybe we see at the store or at our work, and they don't understand why, you know, calm down, just relax, you know, things are bad out there, and we've lost our 401k, and, you know, well, if Yahweh sees that something is keeping you from Him, He'll take it away out from underneath your feet. Because He does love us, and He wants us to do what He tells us to do. And we are to bless Him. 2 Corinthians 1:3-9. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, the Father of mercies, and Elohim of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by Elohim. For just as the sufferings of Messiah are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through the Messiah. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring, it's that word again, Strong's 5281, hupomone. In the patient endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you, as you, are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even to life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in Yahweh who raises the dead. We were dead men. Do we ever feel like dead men in this world? Suffering to the point of and persecution, and just can't handle it anymore. You know, we do come to points, stress points in our life in which we, you know, we start to, it becomes unbearable. But I think it's those times which keeps us grounded and gets us on our hands and knees before Yahweh and helps us to draw close to Him. And I'll tell you, I know that there were some that came to this feast with exceeding joy, because they were leaving some suffering and the troubles behind, and they were looking forward. And this is what we need to do as well. I think James expressed it that we are to be joyful, and you know, when we come under trials and suffering, because it's producing something great within us, better character. More strength in Yahweh's Spirit to draw close to Him and to be comforted by Him. And ultimately we find it is Yahweh who provides comfort. You may remember that Yahshua said He would send the Comforter, and then some will say that that is proof that the Holy Spirit is a separate mighty one, an individual, one of the three in the Trinity, they will say. Scripture, however, points out that the Comforter is actually of Yahweh. Can we say is Yahweh? Certainly a portion of Him is giving us the comfort. Literally, we receive a portion of His Spirit. It is Yahweh who is our Comforter. He is the set apart Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now Yahweh is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is liberty. We have freedom in Him. We have freedom to call upon Him and to be comforted by Him and to do, freedom to do His will. That's the freedom we have. Isaiah 51:12, I, even I, am He who comforts you. We ever think about that? We feel peace. Many times when we think about our situation, we realize many others have gone before us, suffered even greater and more troubles and trials than you know I can imagine, and many of us can imagine. But Isaiah 66:13 says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. It's a promise, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. And certainly we are destined, I think, if we overcome to the end, to reign with Yahshua and even sit in His throne. I still can't get that out of my mind. I'm amazed that that would be even a possibility. And yet we are told that when we see Him, we will be like Him. And that is another unfathomable, you know, our minds have a hard time wrapping around that idea. And yet, we are going through what He went through. And He tells us to be of good cheer, because the one, you know, the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. But Yahshua overcame the world. And He gives us encouragement to do the same. Certainly we can have perseverance in suffering obedience. And we know that the outcome is good. 1 Corinthians 15:23. Each in his own order. Messiah the first fruit. After that those who are in Messiah's at His coming. So He comes in the resurrection. Certainly, we can have perseverance in suffering obedience if we keep this in mind, stay in tune with Yahweh's Spirit. You know, verses 6 through 7, backing up in 2 Corinthians 1 there we read, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, so on and so forth. We suffer obedience for each other as we strive to serve each other by praying and helping one another. And of course, Yahshua said, you know, we're to serve Yahweh with all of our strength, might, with all of our being. And likewise, we are to serve our neighbors, ourself, especially those of the faith. But we comfort with a similar comfort that we ourselves have been given and that we freely give to one another so that we might fully obtain salvation when Yahshua returns. We don't want any to give up, but we want brethren everywhere to endure with patience of any suffering that comes. Suffering obedience, in other words. And I'm amazed at how many messages are coming out concerning when we talk about faith, there's obedience connected. When we talk about love, there's obedience connected. When we talk about prayer, there's obedience connected to that, to be pleasing to Yahweh, for Him to be able to hear and to because he's repulsed by sin, by evil. It's not part of Him. It's separate from Him. Now, He tells us to be separate, but He tells us to be holy. We are separate from evil. We are to be separate from disobedience. And all these things that people come up with, faith, love, grace, all of that without obedience is null and void of being the correct kind of love, faith, and obedience that we are to have. And, you know, when we think about suffering, we need to be like Job when suffering and facing trials. Job 2, verse 3, Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing Elohim, turning away from evil." That's what we are to do. "And he holds fast his integrity," something else we're to do. "Although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." It says Satan accuses the brethren day and night. And we are to be mindful that sometimes when we suffer, there's someone there ready to go to Yahweh, and it may be had already gone to Yahweh and incited Yahweh or asked Yahweh, you know, I believe he'll break if you do this to him. But Yahweh says he knows what we can handle. And his promise is we will not be given more than what we can handle. So Satan, yeah, he may want certain things, but he is in Yahweh's control. And for him, just like Yahweh says to the sea, you know, this far you can come and no further. Speaking of the waves of the sea. And when we're in turmoil, when we're in difficult times, it seems like a storm. And we question whether the storm will end. You know, how much more can we take? But Yahweh says those waves will not overtake us. What was Job's outcome, and what will be ours if we overcome and maintain our integrity? Job 42 and verse 12, Yahweh blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he was given double. He was given his whole family back. He was given more, and he was blessed. And he saw the outcome, and others around him saw the outcome of his integrity and obedience to the Father, even under such extreme conditions in which he most likely, and I think it did come to a point where he just, you know, my life, I wish I hadn't been born. This is just too much. Paul and others have experienced this even before us. We know that things are getting difficult in the world. We understand that things could, turn even worse. But we're to persevere and do that hupomone thing and keep our stand even when things get rough. Neil, get on our hands and knees at times, but stand in the truth of Yahweh's word and in the promises that are given to us, and have the faith that things will be okay. Paul expressed boldly that he and the other brethren with him, at least Timothy is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 1:1, were standing strong in their faith and holding on to their integrity, even though they were suffering because of their obedience to Yahweh and their faith in Yahshua. 2 Corinthians 1:12-3, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and righteous sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of Elohim, we have conducted ourselves in this world, and especially towards you. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end." In other words, be encouraged. I hope you are encouraged to the very end, because we have to overcome to the end. So don't misunderstand what is written, and don't misunderstand that we do have to suffer obedience. King David, though having stumbled a couple different times, maintained his integrity by not forsaking Yahweh. Psalm 18:21-27, "For I have kept the ways of Yahweh, and have not acted or wickedly departed from my Elohim. For all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him. I kept myself from my iniquity." In other words, he departed from his iniquity, I think, is what's saying. Verse 24, "Therefore Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands and my eyes, or in his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind, with the blameless you show yourself blameless, with the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself astute, strong." Verse 27, "For you save and afflicted." I think it's okay to think that this is suffering obedient people, "but haughty eyes you abase." And so Yahweh again says, "I'm against evil. I'm for the things that are right." And certainly we should look out for those that are less fortunate than we are, and do the things that are proper. But in doing even those things, we sometimes suffer. But it's obedience to the Father in doing such things. Daniel 3:16-18, "Others have also been recorded as having integrity and willing to suffer obedience to Yahweh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we will not need to give you an answer concerning this matter.'" Of course, he wanted them to bow down to this pagan idol that he'd set up. Verse 17, "If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." Of course, they were told they were going to suffer this furnace of blazing fire if they didn't bow and worship this pagan idol. But verse 18 says, "But even if he does not," that is, save us from this blazing fire, "let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image in which you have set up." Okay, I imagine the king got a little upset and said, "How dare you?" But there are times, yeah, we honor the king, but there are times if we are put in a position that is going to dishonor Yahweh, then we have to choose. And I heard just the other day, you know, some people say that they're born to do what they do. No, Yahweh says choose life. So we have a choice. And we are definitely to choose Yahweh's way. Prophecy reveals that the saints will overcome, but they have the same adversary as Job did. Just as Job was accused, we are being accused. We can overcome with Yahweh's help, though. But we must be willing to suffer obedience. We must endure suffering and not lose hold of our integrity or the comfort we've been given. Revelation 12, 10 through 12. Then I heard a voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He accuses them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death." Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 12, "For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." So Satan, if I may characterize him like this, is a raving lunatic. And he's got knives and everything else trying to slash and kill and destroy any who are doing Yahweh's will. And so we really have to be aware that the devil is in the picture. But we are told that we are not going to be tempted beyond what we are able to handle. We're told that he who is within us is stronger than he who is in the world. We know the world is under the influence of Satan, under his evil spirit and influence. And there are demons and other things out there that we don't see, but we can see the effects of the evil out in the world. 1 Thessalonians 3, 4 through 5. "For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter," who would that be? "That the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain." In other words, there was some concern that they were submitting to the devil. And we're not to. We're fighting for our lives. And if you're in a fight, there is suffering at times. But we don't put down our armament. We're given spiritual armament so that we can overcome. "Consider those in the faith who've suffered obedience to Yahweh in Yahshua the Messiah. Remember that as they stood their ground, we can also stand fast to the end. And speaking of the tribulation ahead of us, Yahshua said in Luke 21, 34 through 36, "Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things which are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." How close are we to things getting really bad and ugly in this world? Someone measured with their fingers 1 inch. Okay, we're getting, I think, close. And so I think it's going to be more important that we come together at the times that we're able to come together. It's going to be more important to communicate and have the fellowship and express our concern for one another as Yahweh has expressed his concern for us and has given us comfort and peace. We need to be able to do the same for one another. But we are not immune to suffering. But suffering will come, and suffering will eventually be no more. This is Yahweh's promise to those that love him. And we'll go ahead and close with a scripture, Revelation 21, 4 through 5, keeping in mind that Yahweh is in control. But we have a choice, and we have to choose life. "And he will wipe away," Revelation 21, 4 through 5, "and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first things have passed away. And he said, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true."